How's the weekend going, old boy? Frankie boy?
It's gone good. It's gone quick. We've got a holiday Monday for some, which will be good. And we're going.
Well, the main question is, and for everyone listening, this is the Two Passionate Blue Baggers podcast, so welcome everyone. And this is for everyone probably living in the greater Melbourne area. Are we enjoying this bullshit heat or not?
You're asking me personally?
No, well,
no, it can suck a dick. The heat. It can absolutely suck a dick. I don't mind if it's 30 degrees plus during the day, but when it's 35 degrees at 1 a.m. in the morning, that's a bit too much. Just a bit too much. So, no, I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so we're recording now on Sunday night, and we've still got one more day left of this oppressive heat. Which I'm hearing that if you check the weather for next week, I mean, by the time Thursday rolls around that we play the Tigers, we're looking at 19 degrees with a bit of rain. So it keeps it nice and cool. Is that Webby? Is it Webby?
Light work, lad. Light work. 46 behind. Don't worry about it. Winning in opening round. Some can do it, some can't. Shout out to you, Rob, and shout out to you, Jimmy.
Fuck! He's gone Wooshka.
Jeez, that's a hell of a start, Webby.
Let's go.
Christ, are we okay, Webby, or?
Oh, it's been a brilliant weekend. Brilliant.
Let's unpack that a little bit more, Webby, later on. We'll unpack that a little bit more later on, bro.
Will we?
Before we even get started on that, and I did want to just mention we did win, obviously on Friday night on opening round, and before we even got the real opportunity to celebrate that, we got some bad news with one of our players, our second player this year that's done his ACL, which is young Sam Doherty, which is really not great at all. It's his third ACL, and
it's on his
other knee, isn't it? So it's not on the one that he's done before.
It's sad news, and listeners out there, you know my disdain for our S&C department.
Here we go.
But this is a legitimate question to you, Webby.
Yes.
A legitimate question to you, Vinny, yes. and a legitimate question to the listeners, because I'm not sure the timeline of what did or didn't happen. Now, he hurt his knee in the first quarter, went off, and then seemingly walked off okay. My question is did he do the meniscus then, or did he do the ACL then? When he came back on, now I don't think they would have put him back on if he had done his ACL.
No way.
I'm sure they would have done an ACL test on the boundary or down in the change rooms. 100%. I'm confident of that.
Yep.
So I guess what I'm asking is was he brought back on was he brought back on when he had done his meniscus, or did he tear both of them when he came back on? Because it is important to get, and we won't find out what happened. And again, this is not an attack on the SNC team, because they wouldn't have taken any risks with him. But have we found out what the timelines were? Because he seemingly then walked off after the game, smiling and walking without crutches. And if you saw Kitty Coleman, he did an ACL as well.
Yeah,
he looks starved.
But his knee was in a brace, in a bandage already.
Yeah.
And he was coming off on crutches, whereas Doc walked off.
Yeah.
And the club, well, Vossi had said in his presser, it was a jarred knee. So is it because it was hot, his knee, or it wasn't cool? I mean, I don't know. I'm sort of asking I'm sure we've taken all the precautions, but is there a chance that they may have misread it or no? Am I reading that wrong?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, we you check that. Webby, it wasn't you that put it up, but you responded to somebody that put up a video of when Doc supposedly did, well, the incident that he did. And I use the term incident very loosely because nothing happened.
Yes.
There's the footage shows nothing happened.
Yeah.
The only incident that I could see that happened was within that first 5 or 10 minutes. Now, I'll preface it by saying I didn't see the game live, and I did put that on Twitter when talking a little bit about the game. I had to work the next morning, so I didn't see anything happen until the last minute of the game. It's the only part of the game that I saw
live.
Yeah, well, I just woke up. No. I woke up right as the game was happening, and I saw the score was 80 to 85, and then I refreshed the screen, and it went 86-85, and then I turned it on. It said it was only like a minute left. I watched that last part. So I didn't see any of the Doherty incident live. It was only the next day when I watched it. And I remember you, Frank, because I spoke to you, and you said to me that Doherty had gone off at half time. So when I watched the game, I went, oh shit, he's done his knee, or he did something to his knee within the first 5 minutes because he went off. Then realizing he came back on, then went back off again at half time to not reemerge. Now, Coleman did it, and he was in pain and on the ground, and you could see he had done clearly something wrong. Doherty at the end of the game just looked like, oh, well, he's limping a little bit. He'll be okay. Give it a few weeks and he should be right. You know, a Carlton few weeks being, you know, 6-8, but we'll see him again. And, you know, listening the next morning to either, I think it was SCN or 3AW, one of their shows, they were told the same sort of thing. It's only going to be... Yeah, it's only going to be, you know,
weeks
out.
Yeah,
it wasn't going to be the full thing. And then I can't remember which one of you two boys said it. I think it was you, Frank, that wrote down Doc did his ACL later that afternoon. I went, what?
And that
could it have happened? And that comes back to what you were saying. When the freaking hell did he do it? You just can't see. Now, if he'd done it straight away, then
they wouldn't have risked it. But then I got it. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is we're not doctors in here. So we don't know what does or doesn't happen. But I got a direct message from someone on Twitter or X saying that, and I haven't got my phone on me to read what it was written, but apparently the meniscus was done and then the ACL gets done. That's why he's done both. You do one and then the other. But how true is that? I mean, I just don't know. But
yeah, we don't know.
I don't think they'd be stupid enough to risk him, knowing his history, with a torn meniscus anyway and or an ACL. So, look, I don't...
And I'll just quickly say, because I'll read the questions a little bit later on, bring it a little bit forward, Adrian Sal did ask that, because on one of the other shows... that one of the other podcasts, the Prendercast, he'd actually written in there, because I was reading through their thread on Twitter, and Adrian Sell, Mr. Salerno, wrote, well, why the fuck did they let Doc go back on? And I said, look, it's definitely going to be discussed on our show. And then he just wrote, consider that my question for this week, Vincenzo, which, you know, it's a valid question. And that's the thing. We probably will never know exactly the order of what he did.
You'll never find out. So
you're gonna have to take it on good faith that they wouldn't have let him back on if there was anything
bad
that happened. You know, through scans, not realizing it was as bad as what it was, they took him to get his knee scanned, and then through the scan, found out that he's done his ACL. And, you know, putting all that conspiracy aside, the simple fact is, it's his third ACL. The poor bloke just cannot buy any luck. Like, just his whole career has just been, you know, one bad luck thing after one bad luck bit after one bad luck. Just, it's just consistent. If not for the cancer, it's for the two ACLs, and, you know, just in the way that he's done them, especially the second one, you know, what was he just jumping on a trampoline during training or whatever? It was some innocuous thing, if I remember correctly. And then you look at this one here and you see it again and you go, well, he didn't do anything playing. It's just so, there's just nothing to it. It's his third one. I mean, is this guy going to go on next year?
Well, I guess from here, that's the question I'd ask Webby. Webby, we know that you can go the conventional 12-month ACL or you can go the LARS. What do you, I mean, first of all, what do you reckon? And then after this, we'll cover the game. But what do you reckon they should do? And what do you reckon he would do? And then can a player like him be covered currently?
All right. Yep. There's a couple of questions in there. How old Doc? About 30, 31?
Yep.
Wouldn't you say?
30.
I was actually, this is funny you say that. I was just checking that. He was born in 93, 17th of October, 93. So if he went the conventional route, yeah, and by the time he gets back, he's 31 and a half.
Mm. So what would you do, Webby, if you were him and if you were the club?
He's closer to the end than the start.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
mean, how many blokes would he come back from three knee recos?
Like, how often has Lars worked? Like, Daniel Menzel tried it a couple of times. It didn't work. Alex Johnston, who played at Carlton for a bit and he played VFL for us, tried it, and like, it hasn't been really successful. So they'll probably just go the conventional.
And then can we cover?
I think so. I think we've got enough there.
Well, wasn't the word, and this is only from someone that you and I spoke to, Frank, and I'll just say who it was. It was Paul Barbazza. He was saying that that Doherty might be playing a little bit more midfield time this year than what he would be in the back line. And again, we'll get onto this when we do talk about the game, but I mean, if he's playing more midfield time than what he is back in the back half time, it's not going to kill us. It's not great that he's gone. It's not the end of the world, but it's not great that he's gone.
By my opinion, I think we can cover him as a player in the midfield because you've got Elijah Hollands, you got Boyd down back, you got, thank fuck, Zach Williams is back, so you got him to cover him down back and you know, more cover through the midfield. I don't think we can cover his leadership.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
That's my only reservation. But knowing
Doc, yeah, but that's where you get him involved. Yeah, like knowing, they did last time say, he had it. Knowing he Doc, sits on the boundary.
Yeah, knowing
Doc, and he sort of coaches from there.
And you know what? For everyone out there, us three, and all the listeners out there, if you look at the last, let's go back 10 years to when the Bulldogs won their flag in 2006. Bob Murphy done a knee. Yeah. They won the flag. Yeah. Then the year after. Or 2018, Alex Rance done his knee round one. 2019, Alex Rance done his knee round one and they won the flag that year. So he can be covered and it's not the end of the world. Yes,
this is where you hope that the players use it as that. You know, if there's anything that they needed to give them that extra kick.
Yeah.
To get them through the year and, you know, give them that, you know, they're behind by a certain amount in later in the year in a final and they need that inspiration to get them over the line. Like, you can't find much bigger than Doherty. You know what I mean? It's just
so that's the shit news out the way.
All right, so it is. We may as well just talk about the game. I'm not really going to go through stats because we didn't really. Yeah, look, the only stat that I give a shit about is Brisbane scored 12-13-85 and we scored 13-8-86. And at the end of the day, that's the only stat that matters. Doesn't matter about how many inside 50s the opposition had or we had. Stats on a game like this are completely irrelevant because we didn't win the major stats and we won the game. But we did win.
What a fucking win.
So, again, like I said, having not watched it live and only seen that last minute after Mackay did kick that goal, I'm not as well. I can't speak on the emotion of the game as well as what you guys did because you watched it live. So, but again, I did watch the replay, so I can talk a little bit about what I saw. And it would like you mentioned it, Frank. It was like Jekyll and Hyde. It was just two completely different Carltons. But Jekyll and Hyde, in as much as we probably saw an amazing first quarter and a bit from Brisbane, where me watching it thinking and knowing the fact that we won the game, so I watched the replay thinking, how in the hell did we beat this team? After what they did in that first 40 to 50 minutes, it was stupid. It was absolutely stupid what they were doing to us. It was almost like a complete role reversal from the prelim final.
So what I saw was that they had a great 1.5 first quarters. Maybe you could jump in here if you disagree. They had a great 1.5 first quarters, and I reckon from probably time on in the second quarter until the end of the third, it was basically an exact opposite to what they did. We did. And then the last quarter was literally an arm wrestle. And that's how best I can describe it. But as much as I'm wrapped we won, and I'm absolutely fucking wrapped we won, the biggest issue I still take out of the game is the fact that we keep starting slow. And we talk about contest and pressure. It was seriously like Wedges had in that first quarter. Hang on.
You can't say that we keep starting slow. Because of the last four games that we've played, being we played Brisbane, then we played Brisbane, then we played Melbourne, and then we played Sydney. So two finals.
The Melbourne game we started slow. We were 3-1. 3-0.
Okay, well, all right. Well, the Sydney game we didn't start slow. And the prelim final against Brisbane, we got 5 up in the first quarter. So over the last four games, we didn't really start slow. We've only started slow in two of them.
From the preseason. this year.
Let's just wait really quickly on that. So the chatter on Twitter, and again, who gives a shit what these people say, but we may as well just address it. The last week we were on here and we were pretty, well, two of us were, well, actually all of us were pretty critical about the way that we played in the preseason. Webby wasn't as worried as what we were in terms of what we saw. And Frank and I kept putting that prefaced everything by saying, we don't know what it means, but we can only comment on what we see. Being that last year, when we started off poorly in the preseason, it sort of continued right up until that Essendon game. This year, the preseason form carried into round one or opening round up until about, I don't know, until there was about 6 or 7 minutes left in that second quarter, and then something flicked. I don't know what it was. I don't know why, but the difference between what we showed in the preseason games as opposed to this was like night and day. So I don't know what they were training in the preseason. I don't know what they were doing. We don't know. But it'll be the last time that I ever take any reading into a preseason game as gospel.
Famous last words, yeah.
Oh, no, but hang on, Webby. 10 minutes into the second quarter, I'm sure you were thinking this preseason form's carried over. Let's not bullshit here.
No, I wasn't saying that.
No, when it was fucking 50 to 12, you weren't saying that.
No, I was sitting there saying we're undermanned, we're playing in Brisbane, who's coming off a grand final berth.
Yep.
And going into it, I didn't have many expectations. And the game was sort of playing out like I thought it would. That they came out like a house on fire. We were a bit off. And then... Okay, a lot.
We had seven tackles in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And that's not a thing that's got to do anything with personnel, Webby.
No.
That was the thing.
And content.
And like I said, in the third quarter. It was really the end of the second quarter. And again, I didn't watch it live. I watched the replay and I pinpointed there was about 6 minutes 40 left in the second quarter that something changed. You could just see it. And you could see it because we couldn't get it out of their forward line.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we kicked. So it started from that Cunningham goal.
Yeah.
That he got over the back in the second quarter.
Good finish.
And it was beautiful. And then after that, he wasn't alone.
We'll talk about
but he wasn't alone. But what I'm saying is that before that time there, we really couldn't get much of the ball into our forward half. After that, for the next 20, 25 minutes of game time, it almost exclusively lived in our forward half. And when it did, we almost always scored a goal. And it was just... It wasn't even the complete opposite of the first 40 or 50 minutes what Brisbane did. It was almost like we condensed that 40 or 50 minutes into a 20-minute period and said, you did it in 50, we'll show you how to do it in 20. And we basically eradicated their 46-point lead down to a one-point deficit for them. We were one point up. By the end of the quarter, it was just...
We've seen this before, though, Vince. We can turn it
on. Not that quick.
Oh.
I was shocked watching it, how quickly from 46 points down. Because if you remember the Gold Coast game towards the end of last year, they did get ahead really quick.
Yes, they did.
And it took us basically all of the second quarter and some of the third to sort of catch up to them. This one here, it was just two quick goals in the last 5 minutes. And then within the first 10 minutes of the third quarter, it was we're right up with them. We were like 4 points down or whatever it was. And I went, my God, how quick was that?
It was just coming out of the midfield too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
In the first half.
And somebody... Well, somebody did ask me on Twitter, I think it was Jacqueline Hunt asked me, was it a matter of the Lions choking or was it us actually playing good football? Don't think they choked. I actually think that...
We lifted our fucking intensity after half.
Well, we did. Actually, a good mate of mine actually put it really well to me, spoke to me the next day about it, I hadn't seen it at that stage. He was watching it. And he goes, if you watch the game, when they were on top, he goes, they were scoring goals easily and from everywhere. He goes, as soon as the pressure got put on them, and it was perceived pressure, because sometimes they were lining up for goal and they were missing. They were missing from everywhere. Their kicks weren't hitting targets. They were dropping marks. So they just got scared. They shit themselves. Yeah. And you could see it. You could just go back and watch it again. You can just see it. There's one part in the third quarter where I can't remember the bloke that got it. He kicked it. And it's actually really good footage if you watch it. I think Carlton Twitter put it on there where you can see Akers from the back line and you see him stopping. He takes a mark in the back line, kicks it out, and then follows the ball all the way up into our half forward area. One of the Brisbane guys inside our forward 50 kicks it across the goals, and Akers actually
mark it.
He doesn't mark it. Maybe he does mark it. He gets into the contest, intercepts the ball, and it actually results in a goal.
That's in the middle. That was in the middle. Yeah. That was when Chera hit Kennedy.
But they went for one of those risky kicks into the middle to try and set up a bit of play, but he kicked it way too high. But they weren't missing those kicks in the first quarter and a half.
Yeah, but we closed the middle in the second and third. We closed the middle.
But that's what I'm saying. We put the pressure on them. And those kicks that they were confident of making, all of a sudden doubt crept in. So it wasn't a choke, really. It was basically, no, we clamped down on them and we got the game on our terms. We played it our way. And once we did that, we basically did what we didn't do during the prelim, which if we had done that a little bit earlier, yeah, we may have won that game, but that's it's in the past. Like the Collingwood Grand Finals in the past. I know they like to bring it up even now that they've lost the game. It's still in the past. Some of us like to move forward into 2024. So, you know, yeah. Frank, go on.
Lesson learned then. Lesson learned.
I do think Webby to a degree, though, that when they were getting a lot of their drive, Brisbane, off the halfback flank from Coleman. Of all the players that they couldn't afford to lose, and the one we probably wanted them to lose was the one that went off.
Yeah.
Okay, but Frank, to be fair, I get that.
Their drive from, and once they went down,
and I did have an avenue. I did hear that chatter a little bit, and he played the whole of the second quarter, and it was two goals apiece in the second quarter. So there wasn't the influence that people, and this is obviously from people that don't like Carlton. So it's like, oh, Coleman went off and that's when the game turns. It didn't turn when he went off. They did have the ascendancy in the second quarter, but they didn't put enough goal pressure on us, kicking only two goals. It was sort of an arm wrestle for a little bit there in the second quarter. Once we wrestled back the momentum,
the last 10 minutes,
And Charlie had kicked that second goal.
Yeah,
there was you could just see things were starting to unravel for them, and maybe that's the key to beating Brisbane. Just put the pressure on them.
Potentially, it did help, but I don't think that was the major factor for us winning. I just think we won it out of the contest.
Yeah.
Well, I think. Hang on, sorry.
We wanted it more.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this as well, and no one with any semblance of a brain is making the excuse that one player for Brisbane goes off and, you know, they lose the game, because we can throw out your Walsh, Wiedering, Marchbank, Motlop, who else was missing? Jack Silvani's obviously done his knee. Doherty went off at half time. We've learned from. So I think we sort of asked the question last week, how are we going to perform this year? Granted, it's only one game. I'm not reading too much into one game. The thing that we did say last week as well is that, you know, these first games always throw up those, you know,
anomalies,
iffy results and shit like that. we wanted to see whether that second half form of last year carried over into the start of this year. Preseason wasn't showing, you know, great signs of it, but as the game went on, we saw that, yes, whatever we were doing in the second half of last year has so far carried on into this year, and we've shown that we're not a team purely based on individuals. It is a system-based thing that we've got.
Correct. Correct. And that's one thing we pondered and questioned last week, whether or not it was more system or player-driven. And I thought halfway through the second quarter, it's where the fuck is this system? And then whether it validated it or not, the system did start to take over with the pressure. But I'd like to see it dialed up all game. Or longer than what we did. That's just me personally. Because you wouldn't want to do that all the time, come back from 7-8 goals down all the time. So what did you think, Webby? So last week, and yes, it was a practice match the last 2 weeks, but we questioned, obviously, not having Wietering. We needed Young and Kemp to step up against Hipwood and Danaher. What did you think of those two boys this week?
I thought Young was quite good.
In what sense?
He just looked a bit more confident to me in his marking and playing on quicker than we probably saw in the practice games. Kemp just did his job, I thought.
I thought he killed Hipwood.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I thought he.
You guys know my thoughts on Hipwood. I don't think he's any good at all.
I was going to say, should we just make the bold statement that Hipwood is not.
He's not Sturridge now, and
he's not really a very good footballer in my eyes. He's a player that plays in the Brisbane Lions forward line, and that's about all I'll give you. This guy's been, everyone's been waiting for this bloke. He's gonna perform. He's gonna perform. He's gonna perform. When?
I agree. I agree. I don't rate him at all. So I'm not surprised he struggled.
But they still had to do a job on him. Of course. He's still a dangerous player. So
of course. He's still, 200 centimetres?
I think the job the boys did on the two key forwards was great. It helped having Zach Williams there, and it helped having Saad sort of nullify
Cameron.
To a degree, Cameron.
Yeah.
Yes, Cameron missed a couple of doozies that he'd normally put away, but that might have been perceived pressure that he missed them. So I thought all in all that the back line actually stood up really well after quarter time.
The only mistake Saad made all night was that drop
mark. Last one.
Yeah.
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 The drop mark where
and you can sort of
say thank you, I'll take that and kick the goal.
And you can sort of forgive him a little bit. Yeah, I mean, we won the game, so that's okay. But you know, the ball is a little bit wet, a little bit dewy that night. And,
yeah.
You know, he's trying to take a mark out in front of him and he drops it. But you know, I'll just say one thing with this game that we won on Friday night, and I know you tipped at Webby. On last week's podcast, I would say that most people at the start of the year when they saw the fixture would have said, you know, gets around. If you're looking ahead, if you're one of those that looks ahead, you would have sort of looked up to around about round 7 or 8 yeah. or 9 when we're playing Collingwood.
Yeah.
And you would have said, well, look, we'll probably drop one or two of these games here. Yeah. And one of them being the Brisbane game.
Yeah.
So there weren't that many confident Carlton supporters going into the game. Hence my absolute shock when I woke up and saw the score that, you know, we're up. I couldn't believe it. we're playing the team that played off in the grand final last year that lost by a kick. You know, really, really, really good football team. We're also playing them at home. Mm. You know, we have gather round. This is the second year now that we're going to have gather rounds. This is almost like the gather rounds for the northern states. So it's there for Sydney and Queensland to show off, or New South Wales and Queensland to show off their states, their teams.
Good luck.
It's their pride in showing that off.
Yeah.
So they're going to play a little bit harder, a little bit better. It's at their home ground. No one's beaten them there since 2022. Was undefeated there last year.
It's their fortress. Since 2013.
So don't blow off this win as, well, it's only the first round and, you know, they were a little bit off. Mate, it was our first round as well. It was a phenomenal win that, you know, if I pose the question to any Carlton supporter, is that as good a Carlton win during the regular season as you've ever seen? You'd probably be hard pressed to find a regular season game that you could say that you could think is better than that one there. For the comeback, for the place that we played, for the team that we played against, phenomenal. And with the players that we had out as well. It was just...
Do you know what game it reminds
me of? What an effort.
Do you know what game it reminds me of? I think it was maybe 2001. I'm going to say round three.
Against Carlton Essendon?
Yeah. When they were undefeated and they just won a flag and we were missing... Oh, fuck, I'm going to say Cuda. Maybe
we had like three or four of our best.
Maybe Bradley. And we won by, 16, 17 points, something like that.
Shout out to anybody that can find that game online because because I believe we played them twice that year and I think we beat them the second time. You cannot find that first game.
But that was the...
It's really hard.
But that one there is probably the only... Like, with the players that were out, the team that we were playing against, we weren't a great side that at the start of that year, but they had just come off a flag. And, that's probably the only game I can think that has come close to it off the top of my head quickly.
I'm going to make an observation here. In watching the replay, I don't know if anyone else really noticed it, but it's something that I noticed and it sort of gave me vibes of the Melbourne final with that last bit of play to get the ball to Mackay.
Yeah.
It was on the wing.
Yep.
And instead of kicking it straight back in, which when kicking it in, we either would have kicked it along the into the forward pocket or kicking it sort of sidewards into the middle of the ground. I can't remember who kicked it into the middle. McGovern kicked it, and he instead of looking into the forward line, he looked inbound into the middle. Again, like we did against Melbourne, Wiedering had the ball on the wing, looked into the middle, kicked it that way, and we went straight down the guts. This was a very similar play where we looked into the middle, kicked it in there. And then we kicked it straight down the middle to Mackay, who got it 30, 35 metres out.
Newman, I think.
I think it was Newman that kicked it and hit Mackay, you know, laced out on the, given on the chest. Given a jump,
there is not a defender who's going to get near him.
It surprised me that there was no Darcy, Lions.
Darcy Morewood, the great Darcy Morewood.
Well, minus the blonde bombshell there.
How'd he go?
There's
last?
Not many. Oh, he was great. He was probably.
Him I and, nobody I, kicked fucking five I, goals on him.
So sorry, can I? I sorry, drafts, Frank. Maybe. I know.
Footballer.
Sorry, I just want to say one thing, and this is getting off topic for a second because you fucking brought up last night's game, so I just want to talk about one thing from last night's game. And it's got nothing to do, even though it does have something to do with Collingwood, it's got nothing to do with the actual players per se. There was a bit of play. This is the commentary team. This is BT just, you know, going off about Collingwood. And you can understand these interstate teams that see the Victorian bias when they're commentating. Dacos kicked the ball. And as he kicked it on the side of his boot and found a player. Now, it wasn't like he had to turn his head 145 degrees behind him to see this player. The player was ahead of him, but instead of kicking it straight, he sort of kicked it on the side of his boot to this player. And the way that they were going on was like only Dacos could do this kick. And I thought, are we being serious? I'm in the same game.
Like the goalie.
In the same game. Toby Green was doing those kicks.
He's a gun.
Toby Green was doing them. And yet Nick Dacos, half the time, his kicks were actually being kicked straight to fucking GWS players. And the way that BT and Richo were just going on about Dacos' kicks, I'm like...
The less we talk about those maggots, the better.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I had to let off watch. I was watching it last night. Near on throwing up from the bullshit that I was listening to with that commentary team. Oh, they were 40 points down, or they can still win it. There's 10 minutes to go, you fucking idiots. They've got to kick 10 goals in 10 minutes to actually win the game.
He's a dickhead.
Oh, fuck. But anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, that last bit of play just reminded me of the Melbourne game. It's something that they've trained. Get it down the middle. I noticed that a few times, especially when we were doing our little comeback there, our mini comeback in the end of the second, but also the third, we were kicking it down the guts. They were getting the ball directly in front of the goals. There was nothing in the pockets. It was basically directly straight down the middle. It was get it out, run straight down, in the middle, goal. That's the one thing that I noticed. And in that last bit of play, it's that one last chance to get it in there. With less than 2 minutes left, once again, they took their chance right down the middle and, you know, the man of the hour took it and he didn't let us down.
Salute to Mackay. He's been under a lot of pressure. The amount of pressure he's been
unfairly.
Has been disgusting from the media. Yeah. Things have been shit house. One thing I will say about what I noticed from our team more and some of our players, it was good to see Cripps play forward a lot more.
And he was I'm happy with that.
He looked like more of a target. He dropped one mark that Kurnow kicked his first goal, if you remember, Webby, in the second.
Yeah.
But he also took a mark and went back and kicked that goal to put us back in front. But that was, I said it to you, Webby, on the Saturday morning. That's probably the best 20 possession game from Cripps I've seen.
Yep.
Because he didn't try and take on too much. He did one or two times, but he sort of knew his limitations and wanted to get everyone else involved. And I was a bit worried about Dunkley at the start of the game, but Cripps was unanimously in the top three for that game. He was just so much more influential than Dunkley, who, mind you, if you look at the stats, Dunkley had a better game. But
we don't look at stats, bloke. No, we look at it by eye. Correct. We just see what we see.
I was about to say. So if you go with the eye, Cripps was easily our best midfielder. And it was a big, big leadership game. And I actually thought with about 10 minutes to go in the last quarter, that's when we sort of looked a bit shaky because he wasn't out there. He couldn't get out on the ground.
Yeah, he was stuck on the bench. I heard him say that.
When he came back on, he sort of ignited us again. So shout out to Cripper, shout out to Mackay, and the big fella up front. Seriously, I had to watch that third quarter again.
I just want to talk about that, Frank.
Yeah.
I've listened to SEN, I've listened to 3AW's, you know, the post-match and talking about the game. And, you know, there's been a lot of focus on, well, geez, it turns out they really didn't need Wiedering, which we do need Wiedering, but it just goes to show that we're not reliant on players that are in our best 22 because to play every week because it's system, right? But when you spoke to me, Frank, on Saturday morning about Charlie Curnow, and again, no one in mainstream media seems to have actually mentioned his 15-minute cameo in the game. Seriously, this guy is an absolute freak of a player.
He's an animal.
I'm watching the replay, again, knowing what the result is, with just the biggest smile on my face, especially the second quarter goal that he kicked, and he's really pumped up. I'm laughing, thinking, I know what you're about to do. I know what you're about to do in the third quarter. So I've already got that playing in my head. I know what you're doing. To see what he did in the third quarter, where we're down and he pops up, gets us right back within it and said, guys, take over. I've got you there. Take over. It reminded me so much of what Kernahan used to do for Carlton, where when you needed that one guy to just get you there, do what you needed to do, they did it.
Nah, sorry, Vinny. Sorry. It was more, and Scott Oak, don't hang me for this. It was more Wayne Carey and Buddy Franklin is what I saw. Sorry. It was so good. Like, the guy needs, you can't give him an inch. Like, he literally took that game away from him in 5 minutes. It was disgusting how easy it became. He got one on the ground, he got one in the air, and then that one-on-one when Owies kicked it to him and he was behind the player and got in front was just ridiculous. And he seems to just light the crowd up. So for me, for that 5 minutes of football, he was the best player on the ground because that turned the game. That's my opinion.
It was funny because I was listening to old mate Kingy and Dermy talking about they actually did speak a little bit about Carlton. It was on SCN.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And whoever the host was that asked about, you know, these two teams, genuine premiership contenders, and Kingy's still got that, you know, who's our next forward that steps up in the forward line, because Jack Martin plays less games than what he actually plays because he's always injured. Even though 10 minutes before that, he said that Cripps playing in the forward line was a brilliant move and that's where he needs to play the year. So, you know, Kingy says something and then 10 minutes later forgot that he actually said it. Dermy actually disagreed. And he goes, because of Charlie Curnow. And he goes, because Kingy was saying that, you know, key forwards lately in finals don't kick goals.
Yeah.
And Kingy goes, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. He goes, but Charlie Curnow isn't necessarily playing like a tall forward because not only does he get it in the air, he gets it on the ground as well.
Yeah, 100%.
He's just a dangerous footballer.
He's an animal.
Yeah. And when given half a chance, he will rip you apart. And that is exactly what he did. Yeah, just listen to it. It's good. And we all know Dermy loves Charlie Kern. Oh, I mean, he's loved him since day dot.
Yeah.
But it was just
in the comp 5 years ago. Correct. We called it.
Yeah. So. And it was just watching what he did in that 15-minute period was just mate, I'll tell you what. If you're feeling down, if you're down in the dumps, just chuck on the last 5 minutes of the second quarter and the first 10 to 15 minutes of that third quarter. So it's about a 20-minute period, and just watch this bloke. Just show you how footy's played. Oh, yeah. It's fucking unbelievable.
We're just blessed. We really are blessed.
Webby, you guys also said before that Cripps, it looked good, Cripps going into the forward line. We've just lost Webby, but he'll be back in a second. Cripps went into the forward line. Doherty went off. Who took over from him, Franco? Who came on?
No, can we not do this yet until Webby gets back? I need to know when Webby's back because I've got to ask him about this because that was sort of what I was wanting to ask him. Jack Carroll. played a ripper game, and I was bagging Webby last week about fucking Pendlebury, like Pendlebury esque, because he named him that.
There he is, he's back.
Hey, Webby. Yeah, okay. Yep. Webby, means ask that question again.
All right, so you guys spoke before about Cripper going into the forward line. We also mentioned that Doherty was going to play more midfield. Doherty went off. A sub came on, right? It gave a chance for Cripps to spend more time in the forward line. Who came on, Webby?
Jackie Carroll came on.
All right, Frank.
Carroll.
No, Jack Pendlebury Carroll.
Hang on. He moves like... Oh, can I clarify this?
No, he was good. He does.
Like Scotty Pendlebury. I'm not saying he's Pendle. He moves like him.
I actually saw some stuff that I agree with you, that he moves literally like him.
There we go.
And I think, to a degree, our lesser lights on Friday night also got us back into it. Yeah. Jack Carroll.
Fogarty
was brilliant with his tackling.
He was brilliant. Bring it off.
Cunningham, after the first quarter, I wanted to kill him.
Oh, I want to talk about Cunningham.
And he came good. He kicked one goal too and sort of started a little bit as well. Those three there sort of got us back into it. And starting to become one of my favourite players from the back line is young Boyd. Mm. He is just so smooth.
Mm. He's good, isn't he?
He's just so level-headed, smooth, and he fucking uses the ball so well.
Yeah, his ball use is elite, yeah.
He uses it so well.
Yeah.
And the Bulldogs got rid of him, and we'll take that. So, Scott...
But, you know, it helped that we got back Zach Williams. He's got a really penetrative kick.
He's got a
good kick as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, missing a year of footy, it come back and sort of didn't really look like he missed much footy at all.
But the way he kicks the ball, he lasers that football.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's got penetration in his kick, you know what I mean? And it sort of helped us having him back there, because then it gave Saad the clearance to hang back with what's his name?
Cameron.
To sit on Cameron.
Yeah.
And, you know, where you lose Saad as the half back, you gained Williams as that extra half back, so he can go on from there. So, man, and I tell you, it seems to me like half back is becoming sort of a key position in today's football. Yeah, it's become the sort of like when maybe 10-15 years ago it was more of a midfielder's game where you needed to, and to an extent it still is a midfielder's game. You still need, you know, a lot of depth in the midfield, which, you know, Carroll coming in really helps. Elijah Hollands within another week, you know, adds even more depth to the midfield, which is just brilliant. It's just something that we need that
cover
we're lacking.
For
but it,
cover for yeah.
Exactly. But that depth off the half back line and the players that we've got there, they seem to be our best kicks in the team, or some of our best kicks in the team, and most penetrative kicks into the forward line. And when they're firing, we look really, really dangerous, which it's something that I noticed on the replay watching it on the on the Saturday morning from the Friday night game. Those halfbacks, you know, got us out of a fair bit of trouble.
Webby, were you concerned with Ollie Hollands' game?
Yeah, probably. Like, he's had 8 touches, but it's game one. He's a second-year player.
Eight tackles as well.
Okay. All right.
I didn't think there was much wrong.
No, it just didn't seem like he was one player in that first half. I thought when we needed it, could have given us a bit more run and carry and
He'll
drive.
Get another go.
No, of course he will. No, I'm not.
I wouldn't. Mate, I'll tell you now. I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be looking too close at too many plays in that first half because, I wouldn't be singling out any plays in that first half because.
Without looking, if I said to you, who was the player that had the most meters game for our team for the night? What would you say? Don't look at it.
No. Chera?
Vince?
Most meters gained, probably
yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
No, well, then if you can't believe it, it's got to be somebody that
Lewis Young.
Okay, well, then there you go. Lewis, I was going to say somebody from the back line, I was going to say Saad, but I don't know.
Lewis Young had the most meters gained, for our team. Normally, he doesn't normally do that. Normally, he's
Could he have?
440 or 430 meters gained, which was really good.
I'm sorry, but can I need to ask a question on this with Lewis Young. Now, he came back into the team last year and was, would be kind to say that he was probably average at best. He was probably below average when he came in for those few games last year. But the year before, when we got him from the Doggies and Wiedering was injured.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Played his best football without Wiedering.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
When he was in the team with Wiedering, he looked a little lost. It was almost like we didn't give him a task. We sort of just said, you're in the same team. You're one of our better backmen. You just play in the team. Well, what does he do? Wiedering's out, and all of a sudden he's got a task, a role to play. I don't know. He looked good. He looked really good.
He looked better.
This is my only issue now is that once Wiedering does come back, what do you do with Young? Because he looked fine. Like, you know, he played right on his man. He did what he needed to do. He was, like you said now, you think back on the game, he did get, you know, a lot of the balls out and, you know, 400 odd meters gain. That's fair effort.
This is what he has to do, though. He has to put the pressure on Wiedering to say, hey, I've played the first two games. You've been injured. Are you coming back in or?
But they do trust him, Webby. And the reason I say they as a team trust him is because he was also the only player that played 100% game time. So to me, it shows that he's got the trust of the team. He's got the trust of the coaches. I actually don't think he trusts himself. Right?
That's okay. He doesn't get much of a go. So it's obviously a confidence thing with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's it's been put on him. Mate, this is your role. A bloke's out. You're in. Mm. Yeah. We want to see what you've got.
Next man up mentality.
I think he was really good. Like, I think he was really good. And when I saw those stats yesterday, meters gained and the only one with 100% game time, it was just a little tick for him because I'm not saying he's been under pressure from us. I mean, fuck, who are we? But yeah, externally, there would have been a bit of pressure. Sorry, internally, there would have been a bit of pressure because there's no Wiedering. And he's probably the one man you can't afford to lose. But
that's the thing. He would have been one of those blokes that at the end of the year, this year, wouldn't have gotten a game, would have put his hand up and said, look, I'm not getting a game here. Let me go elsewhere.
Yeah.
He could have gone to another club. You look at him next year and you go, shit, look what we lost. This guy's holding his own. We can't afford to lose players like that. He's just too good.
It just gives you another layer to add when, you know, when Wiedering does come back. And it may mean you give him an extra week, Wiedering. You don't need to rush him. Do you know what I mean?
We've seen it before, Webby. We can only go on that, Webby.
That's
yeah.
We're only going on what we see.
Yeah.
I mean, it's week, Webby. It's week by week. Look at it last year, you know, up to the Essendon game, we were all doom and gloom. And then after, and everybody was like that, no matter what these people try and, you know, twisted around now, saying that, you know, oh, geez, here come all the people that didn't think Carlton were going to do anything last year. Now, blah, blah. It's like, no. Everybody thought Carlton was gone last year. And we all jumped on board when they started going well.
So on Thursday night, he'll either take Lynch or Kaczynski, and we'll see how he goes.
All right, before we even get onto that, and before we get onto the questions from the Twitterati, I just want to talk about one more player, and it's not my boy TDK, even though he did really well, and he needs
want to ask one question on that before you get off.
He needs to stay as the sole key ruckman. And I'm happy for the bloke that we're going to talk about.
Yep, I think I know who you've
been. As being the second ruckman for the team.
I'm warming to it.
But I do want to mention Mackay.
Yep.
Because
so do I.
If there was one positive during the preseason game, especially the Melbourne one, it was Mackay. He just looked. I think I mentioned this to you when I spoke to you.
Yeah.
In watching the game, I noticed, this is just me personally, and maybe I'm looking a little bit too much into what I saw last year, but me personally, I noticed a difference in his demeanor this year as opposed to last year. So when watching him take those set shots, It appeared to me last year, every time he was taking a set shot, it looked like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders.
He was jittery, yes.
And he was pissed off at himself and getting really, you know, up himself and like, shit, I fucking missed it. I shouldn't have missed it. You know, he's going for drop punts sometimes, around the body sometimes. It looked like the guy was confused. He didn't know what he was doing. This year so far, it looks like he knows, I'm going to take the mark, I'm going back,
yep.
I'm going to go for a drop punt, and I'm going for it. And whether I kick it or I miss it, his face and his demeanor looks exactly the same every time. Not too excited and not in the shits. It was just like, this is what I'm doing. And to me, it's only to me, he looks, and again, it's only one game plus that preseason game, especially the one against Melbourne, he just looks different. His body language looks different to me than what it did last year. I don't know if you guys noticed it. It's the first thing that I noticed on him. He just looked like somebody had given him, you know, some great news. Like, you know, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, thank God. Now let me go and play football. And he was unbelievable on the week on Friday night as well.
Noticed, after he kicked the now match ceiling goal, he was as fired up as I've ever seen Harry. Like, he is a very down to earth, placid guy, but as soon as he kicked that, he was pumped. He was high-fiving. He was pushing the Brisbane defenders. And the goal he kicked in that third quarter, he flushed that. Flushed it from 50.
Yeah, it was a beautiful kick. I'm a little disappointed in the whole media here because my biggest issue is...
Shout out to Kane Corns.
No, fucking all. Shout out to all of them. I'll ask you this. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'll ask you this. When Taylor Harris got that statue for her, they did the statue about her, what was that in relation to? Why did they do a statue with that kick?
Fucked if I know.
Yeah.
What, because of her kicking style?
Because of her, I believe it was part of that, right? But... You can't. You don't pick on women in football because it's not the way it should be. Because then it's seen as you're being derogatory, or they're this or that. Why is it okay to pick on AFL men when it's exactly the same.
Well, sorry. So, okay, I agree, right? So, Webby, you said it. You said it that he looked, you know, he was pumped. He was, you know, really, like, imagine. So
we don't see the, like
all,
that ever.
All they've, no, no, but all they've spoken about for the last week, and I, again, I've got no idea why, of all the players that moron Damien Barrett decided to pick on, it had to be Harry Mackay. It seemed like it was a media-driven agenda to pick one player for the preseason to have a go at, and it just happened to be Mackay. They were all going for him. Get Lloyd as his kicking coach, blah, 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 blah. It was all this. I don't know why. Once you kick that goal, you imagine the pressure that's on this guy's shoulders, that he's got all this going through his head. You couldn't have picked any better script to have. It's the minute and a half left. We're 5 points down. I mean, he quite literally needs to kick that goal for us to win. He misses it. The talk now would have been, rightly so, this guy still can't kick in front of goal.
Yeah.
He missed another one. You know, what's going on? Yeah. And you know, and then you can say, okay, it's justified in them questioning, what has this guy learned? He's obviously learned nothing. He's, you know, 35, 40 meters out, directly in front, and he sprayed it. Give him a fucking break. Give him a fucking break. These guys, yeah, but Webby, these guys don't know the amount of work that Mackay has done in the off season to improve what he's doing. I mean,
he's gone to a bioscientist or something.
Yeah, but Webby, if all you needed to do was actually watch any of the Carlton games in the preseason to see, he's changed completely the way he's kicking the football, the way he's going for goal. He's not going for snaps around his body. He's going for drop punts. Like, couldn't they see that? We could. What are you giving it to this guy for?
Dano questioned Harry's field kicking.
Yeah, but we said that last week. It was bullshit. We know how good he can kick.
Do you guys remember who kicked the football to Patrick Cripps for the goalie kick?
Harry.
Exactly. A 50-metre bullet.
Bottom line with all this is that mental health plays a massive part in society and in football. These guys are human. These girls are human.
Yeah.
You can't keep hammering them for something that they're not 100% perfect on. Okay? You can't be racist, clearly, but you can be sexist or derogatory towards a player. Doesn't matter.
He or she
plays for. That's all we're saying. So they've gone really hard on him, and clearly it's been spoken about in the club because Nick Newman mentioned it, Vossi mentioned it at his press conference, Charlie mentioned it after the game. He's 25 years old. This kid. He's 25. Lay off him a bit. Doesn't matter who he played for.
Who's won, Frank, just quickly, the last 3 years, who's won the Coleman medal?
Yeah, Carlton players.
Yeah, who was one of them?
Harry Mackay.
Okay, so clearly he can kick a football.
Yes.
Clearly he can kick a football. I just could not believe Corns was, you know, in a match winning goal. Oh, but this is what you're expected to do. No, mate, fuck off.
They're never going to.
Honestly, fuck off. You know the reason why they're going for Mackay is because, like you said, Frank, Vossi, Newman, and Charlie Curnow, all three of them had a go at the media for picking on him. It's like, fuck, mate, what would you expect? Them not to stick up for their mate at the club. Busted his ass. He's won the game. Not only did he kick the match-winning goal, just think about this. Not only did he kick the match-winning goal, but then in game time, 40 or 50 seconds later, The ball gets kicked out of their back line and it's heading to, and you can see in the background, watch it. You can see before the ball's even gone out of bounds, Brisbane players are going, oh, deliberate, deliberate, deliberate. And who grabs the ball and runs it out at full pace? Harry Mackay, a 200 plus centimeter bloke who is out on his fucking feet. Apparently ran 14K over 14Ks for the game.
Yeah.
Ran at that ball, grabbed it, and basically sewed up the game with that one bit of play. It's just like, save your criticisms for some fucking Brisbane plays, mate, because I'll tell you now, if they had kicked as straight as what Mackay had kicked, they wouldn't have lost the fucking game.
All right? About this,
have a go at fucking Charlie Cameron. What did he kick? 2-3?
Yeah, all I will say.
Okay, well, if he kicked 3-2, they win. Or draw.
If this happened to a female footballer, there would not be this hysteria. And there is a female sportswoman in the news at the moment for something that they may or may not have said to another individual. But we know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not getting half the airtime that this is getting.
We're talking about Sam Kerr being a racist, are we?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. We're not here to talk about that anyway.
But what I'm
we're not here to talk about her racist comment. No, all no. we're saying is that you want to talk about mental health. I mean, it was all a touchy subject when it happened to Lance Buddy Franklin, that you know he was going through what he was going through. you can clearly see that Mackay was going through it. He's come out the other end. He's improved his kicking for goal. Just give him a fucking spell. Why is it so hard?
Move on. They just need to be better than media. Be fucking better.
Yeah, well,
I actually want to have a chat about our role players. We spoke about Carroll before. In that third quarter, he was actually rated the highest player on the ground for the third quarter, so well done, Jackie boy. Fantasia's a funny one, I reckon, because he's actually a smart footballer. He doesn't panic. He actually hits up the little 15-meter kicks. Like, for Harry's first goal in that first quarter, if you go back and watch it, it was actually Fantasia who said, I've got Harry free here. I'll just friggin' chip it over the top. And he's a smart footballer. And Fogarty in that third quarter, when he grabbed it close to the boundary and said, I could snap it, or I've got Cottrell here.
Yeah.
I'll just handball it to him and he can kick the goal. But I don't have to kick it.
He set that goal up brilliantly, the way he tapped it away from the player and then handballed it to Cottrell. So he's, you know, again, we said it last
week. He's gonna get better. But we said it's his first game.
We said it last week about these guys that are being defensive minded forwards. If they're not kicking goals, they need to apply pressure. And that's what they did. They applied pressure. That's their purpose. We need to keep seeing it again and again because you're going to get the cavalry back. Oh, he's Durden, Motlop, Hollands will come. We need to keep the pressure on.
And there will be.
Yep.
Like I said to people on Twitter before the game, you can't have 23 superstars, okay? You also need role players like Fogg, like Carroll, like Reyes, like Fogg and that. Like look at Richmond's dynasty. Richmond did not have 23 superstars. They had Dusty and Rance and Rewald and others, but they also had your Castagna buddy types.
The only team of superstars that I've seen win a flag recently has probably been Collingwood last year. Probably the greatest Even ruckman that I've had... that I've ever seen since Simon Madden in Big Cox.
Mason,
Mason Cox, the greatest fullback of all time.
Darcy Moore.
Probably the best small forward that I've ever seen play the game. Like, Webby, you need to just watch yourself when you're talking about teams that win flags without having superstars all the way through, because you skipped last year, okay? Collingwood is just the greatest.
Role players. McQueary is a role player.
He's a genuine. He's a superstar.
Those pieces of shit.
You need role players, guys, to win.
No, you do, mate. In all seriousness, you do. You're right. You need a team that plays as a team. It's as simple as that. And like we mentioned before, what we saw on Friday night was a team that was missing two or three of its best.
Two superstars.
22. Yeah. And the guys that came in for them, whilst not at that quality, came in and did their role. And the hardest trip at the moment in football is in Brisbane, and we beat them. And you ain't taking that away from us all year. So it was
let's get on to questions.
One down, 15 to go.
All right, so
don't start that shit, Webby. Fuck me. Take it one at a time, bloke.
To finish top four, you're gonna have to win 16 games, Frank.
We've won one.
15 to go.
If we lose to Richmond this week, it means the Brisbane game was null and void. Pretty simple, because we've always expected to be 1-1.
You're gonna lose games of football.
I don't want to lose to Richmond.
We'll get onto that in a couple of minutes. Let's just go through these and then we'll get onto that.
Got questions?
Yeah, we do. I don't even know whether I should mention Blue Dave's question here, because this almost gets you kicked off the podcast.
This was the second person.
But Blue Dave, and this is a warning for any of the listeners that ask this question again.
He's spot on.
It will not get responded. This is the last time we're fielding this question. But Blue Dave asks,
said the same thing to me.
Is it time to change the show's name to include Big Webby in as the third? Yes. Go Blues.
Yes.
Go on,
Frank.
Who is it?
Blue Dave. Blue Dave is real. It looks like he's put his real name as he's at David Caravius. Caravius.
Dave, go and get fucked. Next.
He's joking, Dave.
No, Dave, it's the two passionate blue baggers with Webby.
Yeah, that's
at the
it.
Moment.
That's
you
it.
Invited me before you invited your brother. Don't start this rubbish.
Yeah, but.
I can get the messages out if you want.
But Webby, I make the show, so keep going. Next.
So we did talk a little bit about this. Dr. Blue wrote, preseason games are a good guide to fitness and form, true or false. I'll put my hand up and say what we showed in the preseason games. It was completely the opposite of what we showed the end of the second and the second half against Brisbane. I personally cannot see what they were trying to do in those preseason games, unless the key was don't get injured, run around and get your fitness up, because that's what it looked like they were doing. I don't know what they were trying to do. I don't know. Was it just a joke? Were they going out there purposefully to trick people into thinking, don't do anything, just, you know, we know what our game plan is. We know what our style is. Don't show it. Just play whatever you want to play and look like you're half-decent footballers. Just don't get injured. I don't know. I couldn't see what we did in the preseason in that game there, especially in the first half, because we didn't fucking touch it, so you couldn't see us doing anything. But the second half, once we got the ball on our terms, we played nothing like what we did in the preseason games. And it was basically, what did we do last year? We'll do that, but amplify it maybe an extra 10%, 20%. That's what it looked like.
Clearly not. Clearly don't take anything out of it from our point of view.
Yeah, and I said this to you, Webby, the other day when we spoke on the phone. That'll be the last time I take it. And I've said it before, and it suckers me in every single year. I always look at preseason, and then I think the worst every time I see it. I'm not looking at it as a guide anymore because it's clearly just bullshit. No matter who's in, no matter who's out, it's not a guide for where you'll be. Because if we had to look at that, and based on what we saw in the preseason, Brisbane should have beaten us by 10 goals plus. And they lost by a point. So fuck them and, yeah, fuck us for thinking that, I guess. Next. Hang on. Adrian says, awesome, but one win does not make a season. Need to back up this week. Worried about our injury list, in particular Walsh. Club is very coy. Be prepared for him to miss large chunks of the year. Frank?
I'm not answering this question.
Frank?
I can't do the emoji eyeballs here, but I'm doing the emoji eyeballs because I'm not allowed to say that name anymore and what I think. But next.
I'll leave Jacqueline Hunt's question to last because she's got a bit of an F1.
Oh, hello.
F1.
I haven't seen any of these questions, so I've got no idea what young Jackie is saying about F1, but that's good.
Well, we've got, there's a couple of comments in there. So Dan says, can't wait, fellas. James says, when does it go up?
Every morning at about 6:30. Webby just got that.
Oh. Is your mate Webby?
That's okay.
He's talking about watching the replays every Saturday, Webby, every morning at 6:30.
Come on, bro. I'm at the gym.
Get your mind out of the gutter, mate.
Come on, Webby, out of the gutter.
Damnet says, how fucking good? I'm guessing he's talking about the game and not the fact that we're recording tonight. But anyway, another bloke named James on here asks one question. Our game plan looks same as 23 season. How are we going to take the next step if Holcomb knows how we play?
It's one thing knowing how we play. It's another stopping it, in my opinion.
All right.
Because Brisbane couldn't stop us in that third quarter.
I don't think in Hawthorn's heyday in the 2010s, that they changed much of what they did year on year. Clarkson invented a style of play and then kept that going, and they were just good enough to keep what they were doing going. They just did it better than anybody else could do it.
Who
asked that question?
James.
Hang on. Before that, I mean, you've also had, you know, Pagan's Paddock in the 90s, that was something that North and he was synonymous for. They didn't really change what they did. They just did it better than anyone else. And you could try and work on stopping it, but you just couldn't really stop it. And, you know, he won two flags doing that. So I don't know whether we need to really change anything. We've had
the Clarkson cost. We've had the...
I'd heard that Brisbane were going to play a more quicker brand of, you know, handball happy football into this season.
That's and football. Everyone's trying to do that though.
No, but what I'm saying is it clearly whatever they did didn't work because they lost their first game at home for 2 years. So, I don't know. To answer the question, James, and Frank, you might want to have some input on this. I think we're doing fine as it is.
I actually think we changed on Friday night because last year most of our goals were from stoppages, right? We were the number one stoppage team contested getting goals from that. But if you look at the weekend or Friday, we actually scored a lot of goals off turnover, which is one thing we hadn't done. So... no, I think we've improved that on one game and we've got to keep continuing to do that because the game is going to a turnover game. And I think that second and third quarter we got, I don't even know how many goals we were, but we had 9 goals. It might have been at the end of the game. We had 9 goals from turnovers. So,
but is that really us changing the way that we play, or is that us creating turnovers from the fact that we play that style of game?
Well, it's the source. Like of
our game is a high. Yeah, well, that's the way that we scored goals.
But we weren't getting goals. But we weren't getting goals on turnovers last year.
We were getting goals from turnovers.
For that stat. So.
What I'm saying, we weren't getting as many goals from turnovers. We were still doing. What were we ranked on the weekend for turnovers, as opposed to the other 7 teams?
Couldn't tell you.
It's just something. It's something that we'll need to see as the year goes on.
But we definitely scored more goals from turnovers this game than what we did. I'm pretty sure most of the games last year. So we have. We did do that. Yeah, no. But that's what you can go on, Webby.
Yeah, I know, but.
We just need to keep improving.
It's something that we need to look at as the season goes on. But for me, just from the naked eye, it didn't look like we'd done much different. And we just played the way that we normally play. And
that's us, though.
That's well, you've got to create your own style, your own way of playing. And once you do that, you perfect it. You keep perfecting perfecting it.
One other thing I saw is that. We had a better spread of goal kickers this week as well. Yes, Charlie and Harry kicked 7 between them, but we had across the board 8 goal kickers, which we need to keep doing. And 2 of them, well, actually 3 of them, Kennedy, Cripps and Carroll were from the midfield. We need to keep more goals from our midfielders. So that was a good sign.
Yes. Yep.
And then the second last one, Peter V says, Doc is going to be a huge loss. Otherwise, the season rolls on to next week at the G. Yeah, it's going to be a huge loss, but we can't do anything about it now with him.
We just have to get on with it, unfortunately.
Yeah,
and Doherty will walk in tomorrow and say exactly that. Do not feel sorry for me. We've got games of football to win. And finals to win, and then hopefully a premiership at the end.
Webby, he, like I said, he just does what he did a few years ago, which is sit on the sidelines and he coaches from there.
He'll be a great coach.
Yeah, it's just as simple as that. He's there for that extra motivation.
Fine.
All right, and so the last question is from Jacqueline Hunt. I'll leave this in 2 parts. The first part is. Do you feel the Blues of 18 months ago or even first half of last season could have fought their way back from 46 points down? That's the question. And then the other question, level of maturity now. So what do I think? I'll answer. No, not from 18 months ago. Not even the start of last year. They couldn't have done it. We did do something similar against Gold Coast last year. But again, and we did play Gold Coast away. Gold Coast aren't on the same level as Brisbane. This is, you know, orders of magnitude bigger than what we did against Gold Coast last year. Even though there was more pressure on that Gold Coast game, being that we win that, we've made finals. So it was a momentous occasion for the team, for us fans. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, the team that we played – just played off. The last game they played was a grand final and they lost by less than a kick.
Yeah.
And we're playing them at home in a round where it's celebrating, you know, games being played up north. It was just, you know, everything worked against us. it is. There's definitely a maturity there that I haven't seen with this team for a long time. I don't know if either you guys want to mention anything, but that's my thoughts.
Right,
pretty much the same.
Yeah. Like for me, I think I said this to you yesterday, Vince. Losing those last 3 or 4 games of 2022 and missing out on finals was probably the best thing that probably happened. Yeah. To this group, they've grown from that, and they've definitely matured. They definitely believe more, which has probably held us back for the last 2 or 3 years.
There might have been a level of cockiness there in the towards the end of that 2022 season, thinking, well, we'll make finals, and that's
we
where
we didn't believe.
It's not about believing. It's that's where maturity comes in, because you lose the Adelaide loss that we had at the end of 2022 was a game that we all thought we should have won. They probably went in thinking, well, we've got this. Let's just worry about next week. And Adelaide came to play. That's just a sign of a team not being right in the head, not mature enough.
Yeah.
So to answer Jackie's question, yes, there is a sign of maturity now, knowing that even when we are down and we're not playing well, we can change it on the spot to win a game. We can change it on the fly as we're playing. We can change it and win a game. So, yeah, it's just this team can go anywhere. They just need to want to do it and believe they can do it. So
we can beat anybody, and we have been massive believers of that for the last since we started this podcast.
I guess it would be remiss not to also mention. So we mentioned everybody on field. We did just really quickly before I get onto Jackie's last part of the question. Vossi probably won that game at selection with the players that he brought in. Mm. He coached really well. The sub was the perfect sub. Putting Harry in the ruck is perfect.
Yep.
Leaving Cripps down in the forward line. These are all coaching.
More run.
These are all coaching moves that he made. So just shed it. And the other thing with Vossi as well is, did he lose a bit of weight?
Yeah, he's lost a bit of weight. He looks.
Maybe he's on the Vincent Frank diet.
He's been on our diet.
He's lost a little bit of weight. But no, I just wanted to give a shout out to Voss, because no one's really mentioning him anywhere. I thought he did a really good job. Really good job. And even you could see it. I noticed at the end of the game, after McKay kicked the goal, he pumped his fist once he marked it. But once he kicked the goal and the ball was right in deep into Brisbane's forward line, he just sat there with his chin on his fist, sort of sitting there watching the game. And it wasn't really emotion. It was just almost resigned to the fact that, well, whatever happens, happens. We're here. I'm not going to get overexcited in this moment. I'm not going to get in the shits. We're just going to watch and see. It's almost like I trust you guys to do what you need to do. Whereas Fagan was up pacing, chewing his chewing gum ferociously, and it was just the complete opposite.
He's always Voss
last year, towards the end of the year, was real animated on the boundary line, whereas this year he just seemed a bit more calm and relaxed. And anyway, I just wanted to give him a shout out. He got his extension, and you know, there were a few people questioning it, and you know, we're basing it off one game so far this year, so there's still a long way to go, but good job, Vossi and the coaches. I think they did really well. Anyway, the second part of Jackie's question is directed at you, Frank.
No, fuck, here we go.
Thoughts on Behrman's debut start? I'm looking forward to all 4 days at the Australian Grand Prix. So she's talking about Ollie Behrman.
Do you know who Behrman is, Vince?
Ollie Behrman.
But do you know who he is?
So he drove for Ferrari.
Happened? Do you know what happened?
Who does he drive for?
So what happened was...
Yeah, because Stingo went out, Carlos, and he came in.
Carlos Sainz had appendicitis, and he couldn't race at the Saudi Grand Prix this weekend. So Behrman's a FP2 driver. So basically, FP2 is like a... So the easiest way to describe it would be like an under-19 player coming into the seniors, starting midfielder. That's the easiest way to explain it, because F2 cars are at 620 horsepower. F1 is 1,000 horsepower. So for the weekend, FP2 do 2 races, but they reverse the grid in the second race. So if you finish first, you go last, vice versa, right? And the G-force on an F1 is just a lot more than the F2 because they're just so much quicker. Anyway, this guy qualified, I think it was 12th or 13th, but he finished 7th, right?
And so he got points.
He got points, but the main thing was is that, I mean, he was about 15, 20 seconds off Leclerc, which is the other Ferrari driver, but he won driver of the day. And this kid's 18.
It's a freak story.
Yeah, so he's the third youngest driver ever to get third youngest driver ever to get points in the Formula One, which was just ridiculous considering he's only 18. And he didn't jump in the car until practice 3, which is then you do qualifying. So I don't know if he'll race in Melbourne. I'm pretty sure Sainz will be okay, but not bad for a reserve driver to jump in and do that. So it's
people underestimate in an F1 car the amount of G's that are hitting you, especially around your head and neck area. For an 18-year-old kid, like these guys are just the amount of strength, upper body strength that these Formula One drivers have got is ridiculous. And he's only 18 to do that.
Yeah.
It's fucking fair effort. You don't realize
he's a very good driver. Like I think he's won three or four races.
I think Jackie's proud because he's a British guy.
He's a POM. Yeah. He did really well. He beat his fellow countryman Hamilton, which was fucking fantastic to see too.
So one of them's going to Ferrari next year, bloke.
Unfortunately.
I've got a question for Jackie because...
Well, she ain't going to answer, Webby.
Well...
Not on here.
Well, she'll get back to us on Twitter. So, Jackie is English, and from time to time, I have seen her repost about the England cricket team. So... I'd just like to know how they're going in India at the moment. I haven't seen much of it. I saw they won the first test match, England. It's a 5-test series. So, Jackie, if you can just let us know how the Poms are going.
Webby, you're full of shit. You know exactly what
That'd
happened,
be
mate.
Great.
Webby.
I don't.
You know
you're
exactly.
Shit.
That would be great.
Jackie. Hey, Jackie. He wasn't.
He
didn't brief us. He was going to say this.
You're a shit, Webby.
He knows.
I just thought of it now.
He knows full well England
I don't.
Got. England
I
got. He knows full well England got pumped 4-1.
Oh, did they?
Webby, okay. You just wasted almost 3 minutes of this podcast giving shit to a loyal listener. Jackie, you feel free to give Webby as much shit as you like on Twitter.
Jack. I love you.
Yeah.
I don't believe you, Webby.
Vince, wrap this up. Wrap this up.
Anyway, no, well, we've got to just quickly mention we're playing Thursday night.
The real round one.
Well, it's round one. Yeah. We've got Richmond. They're going to get some. They're going to get some quality back in the team.
Good.
I don't know if we're going to have much personnel change. I think it might
possibly.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Doherty's obviously going to come out.
Turf toe.
Yes, I heard that too.
Well, anyway, Doherty's going to come out.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to come in.
Carroll or Sincotta might play half back or something.
Are we winning or not?
Oh, yes.
Frank?
Yeah, just.
No. 8 goals. 6 to 8 goals.
Fuck.
If we're fair income, we take them to the sword. We win this one here by 6 goals.
The Gold Coast led them by 10 goals at halftime and looked absolutely putrid. Famous last words from Webby.
So we're all the consensus is Carlton will win.
Yes.
Yes,
we should win.
Thursday night, I don't know what fucking time it starts. What is it? 7:30, one of those 7:30 MCG. cold.
We'll be there with the
cold kids. Melbourne March night. We get over this bloody heat. Good. Bring it on. Thank God for that. Bring it on. So, look, you know, we don't take any team lightly.
No.
You know, Richmond have still got some really quality players in their team that didn't perform on the weekend that'll want to prove something this weekend against a team that, you know, is touted as a top eight team. And Richmond's been written off this year. So, you know, take any team, but especially Richmond, lightly at your own peril, because they're not going to just sit there and go, this Carlton, just let them go. A
massive game in our household. My mother is the biggest Richmond fan.
G'day, Mrs. Webb.
You'll meet.
And so is Dad. So is Dad.
Russ is not a Richmond fan.
Now, Russ is Blues through and through. Yeah, Russ, just calm down.
Russ needs to pull his head in. Right? Just needs to pull his head in.
All right, well, we're going to...
We're there on Thursday. Cheering the baggers on.
I'll see you Thursday, Webby.
What?
I'll see you Thursday.
I hope so.
We're going to say that Carlton are winning. It should be... Should be a fairly comprehensive win. And then we've got the bye the week after that, I believe.
And then another bye.
Calm down.
Jesus, Frank. You're at the moment.
These are the games that Larky loves. Just calm down.
Remember how long last year?
Every game is...
Fucking the shit's calling me on the phone.
Wrap it up.
Just
wrap it up.
Calm down. Anyway, Webby... Franco, thank you very much. This has been a Two Passionate Blue Baggers podcast presentation. Thanks for listening. Let's hope we get the 4 points this Thursday night. Enjoy the heat, boys, because I fucking can't stand it. And
I love it down here in God's country. The beach was beautiful today.
Not all. Good night.
Webby, thank you very much. Frankie, ciao. We'll see you on the next one, and bye for now.
Not all.